Yeah.
And he gets down on one knee and he proposes. Can't listen.
No,
it's okay.
Okay.
Eid Mubarak.
I'm just going to keep that all in.
We have to look polished for our audience. Nah, otherwise, they're going to think that
know.
We are.
They already know. We never start the podcast. Like, we literally started one podcast with, like, talking about feet pics.
I feel like if we ever tried to be, like, super polished, mm-hmm. we would probably start laughing.
Yeah. Like, and it wouldn't feel right. We literally tried that. Remember for the live show?
The last time we tried to do rehearsed lines.
Did I put the bloopers of that somewhere? No?
I feel like we saw it.
Yeah.
Did you just show it to me, like, and we laughed?
Maybe.
And we never, like, posted it?
Yeah, I think so.
You think you should post it?
I don't know. I don't think we should. Maybe we should. I don't. That's so weird how you, like, do so much stuff that you forget what you posted.
You know why?
You forget what you said? What?
I think you, like, included a couple of the outtakes in the actual clip itself.
Maybe.
Potentially.
We're gonna have to check that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of The Cousin
Connection podcast.
I know we missed last week. And that's like, I feel like that should be the name of the podcast at this point.
I know we missed last week.
I know we missed last week.
Well, you know what?
It was literally on the day we record. Eid was on the day we record.
All things considered, I feel like we're still pretty consistent overall.
Oh, yeah. You know, compared to, you know, the others.
And, yeah. Well, we don't want to compare to others because, like, everyone's in their own podcasting journey.
I've been listening to this. Yeah. I have a lot of podcasts in my past that I've listened to and have been disappointed where they just randomly stop posting, or they'll post like once and we'll be gone for like a month.
You mean us?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to take that back.
I mean, one thing I actually want to call out, which I don't see is on our little board here.
Is it not?
No.
Well, what is it?
It is officially our 4-year anniversary.
Is it?
Well, April, I think 21st, but like,
that's close enough.
Close enough. Guys, we started this podcast in April of 2021.
Damn. Has it really been that long?
Yes.
It doesn't feel like that.
It doesn't. It feels like we're a brand new podcast, mm-hmm. but
That means like the pandemic was 5 years ago. Started 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
Yeah. It seems like it was literally like last year.
I feel like when we, like, 4 years is a huge accomplishment, mm-hmm. but I can't remember who we were talking about this with. But we were saying, like, when we hit our 200th episode, mm-hmm. we'll try to do something, like, special. I think for the 100th, we did the Hot Ones Challenge. Yeah. We're not going to do something stupid like that again.
Maybe just another live show? I don't know, man. That was a lot of work. I don't know if we can do that. We joked about, like, doing it, like, quarterly, or people
literally
trying to get us to do, like,
sent
quarterly.
Sent me to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, literally. Like,
but I think that would be cool.
Yeah. But, you know, we're going to work on that because we still got a long way to go. If you think about it, mm-hmm. right now we're at 165. This is episode 165. Also, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to hit that like button. You know, leave a comment. Do all that stuff. Engage to get back to it. We're at 165. So to get to 200, that's 35 episodes. 35 episodes is like 9 months or more. It's like more than half a year because 52 weeks is 1 year. And, you know, we might be missing a few more weeks. I'm just saying, you know, can we go travel? We're going to be here and there. So let's say, like, yeah, I think 9 months is roughly where we'll be at 200. And what month is that? That will literally be like
the end of the year.
Yeah. Maybe it'll just be like an annual live show recap.
Every December, we just decide to, like,
yeah,
do a live show.
Right when the seasonal depression starts hitting, get ready for a live show.
Cousin Connection is here to save the day in your mental health.
Yeah, because it's recently just been, she's been hitting fan out here, especially weather-wise.
I know. We went through like 4 seasons in one day. It was great.
Yeah, like this, just to recap, like this week, I forget what day was. Was it like Tuesday or Wednesday?
Something like that.
I can't remember. We literally had, and this is a known thing, like it happens at least a few times a year in Toronto, but it was the most extreme version of it where we had 4 seasons in 24 hours.
You know who goes through this and they're probably laughing as they're listening?
Who?
The Australians.
Oh, do they have this? But they don't have it like we had it.
No, in Melbourne?
Yeah.
They literally would go through like their version of 4 seasons. Because like,
exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. It's not the same. When we literally had a snowstorm. We had a snowstorm. Then we had a rainstorm.
It was weird to like see snow but hear thunder.
Yeah.
I was like, huh?
It literally transitioned from a snowstorm to a rainstorm. Mm. And then to
was it the next day, like, or the day after? It was 20 degrees?
No, it was throughout the night. It increased to 20 degrees.
So strange.
Yeah. We had like three different extreme weather changes.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're talking like people were in winter jackets, like trying to avoid getting ice in their face the 24 hours before, and 24 hours later, they're outside in t-shirts and shorts.
It's very odd.
It was the most odd experience. Like, I feel bad for my wife who was coming from Dallas. Like, I was telling her, yeah, you know, don't worry, April, you know, April showers, it's going to be getting nice and warm and stuff. Things will get better.
That's a lie.
And yeah, she's like, where is the blooming? Where, the why poor girl. Don't we see, you know, plants and stuff are growing and trees she's growing?
Still, she's still out here in a super puff in April. Like, I actually feel bad for her.
Yeah, I'm trying, guys, you know.
If you hear me, like, let's go do some activities. Yeah. But then, like, the journey to the activity is treacherous.
Yeah, like, I think I was telling you earlier where I think it was on Friday, just another recap, we went to just, you know, check out the art gallery. Mm. And the journey there was fine, right? Yeah. Like, we don't live too far from it, so we, you know, we took the subway there. Mm-hmm. And that was all good. We got to the art gallery. We kind of got there a little late, so we're kind of rushing, whatever, trying to see everything. But on our journey back, of course, TTC, they, you know, best subway line in the country. They, of course, shut down like midway through our journey back. So they're like, okay, guys, you know. And the thing that I hate about the TTC is that their sound system is so, like,
I know.
You can't hear nothing. You can't hear anything. So you're trying to decipher what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of have to go off of what people are doing. So people just, like, I guess those who understand TTC speaker language, they got up and started walking out. So eventually we waited like 10 minutes. You got to wait that 10 minutes, right? Just in case it's a false alarm. And we got up and stepped out. And it was closed down to the point where when we exited, like, all the entrances to the subway were shut down. Like, they basically would not let anyone in. Mm. So we thought, okay, it's a full shutdown. So they say shuttles are coming in like 5 minutes. We go out and we stand on the street. First reminder, like, I know we said it was just 20 degrees earlier, but the next day it went back down to like 0 degrees, right? Mm-hmm. And we weren't prepared for that. We were prepared for being in the subway where it's at least somewhat warm, right? We weren't prepared to be like stuck outside. And we were stuck outside for 20 to 30 minutes just waiting for this non-existent shuttle bus, to the point where, like, we were just like conversing and like doing, we're just waiting, right? And we, because we were the first people to get to the shuttle stop, mm-hmm. we were facing forward into the street, and there was a bunch of people. At one point we looked back, there's a bunch of people behind us, and we continue doing that. And then, you know, you get to that point where you're like, is it Uber time? You know, I know we already invested in this, like, we waited this long, but, you know, when do you have to make that call? So literally the moment we made that call to just take the Uber, we look back and we're like, there's no one here. And I see every person who was standing behind us start walking back to the subway. And we find out that literally 2 minutes after I've ordered this Uber, the train has started again. That's why the shuttle bus never showed up. They were holding out, I guess.
And I feel like because you don't take the TTC that often, it's like you almost don't know the mannerisms.
Yeah, but like the fact that it happened, she knew it was going to happen. Like, she was kind of calling it. She was already, like, talking-ish about the TTC. Yeah. And the fact that it happened as she was doing that, too, or, like, she was kind of predicting it was going to happen, it kind of just destroyed the, like, whole, you know, the rose-colored glasses we have about public transit in a big metropolitan city.
I mean,
listen. Because it happens, you can't lie, it happens very often in the city.
It does.
More often than it should.
But, you know, there's still a lot of, like, the good thing about the TTC is, like, the reach, you know? And, like, the expansions, like, the YRTs and the...
Yeah, but how many of those lines are still under construction? Like, Eglinton Line, there's a reason they haven't been talking about the Eglinton Line. Because, look, as someone who used to live in Scarborough, I could see it's all done. Yeah. It's all ready to go.
I've even seen the test trains.
Yeah, they've been having test trains for literally years there, mm-hmm. right? And nothing has been heard from them, like, about whether they're gonna start it soon.
Yeah,
like, they keep pushing back the date. It's over budget already. They've delayed it for multiple years at this point, to the point where, like, they're like, let's just hope that people forgot about this line. And
they literally ruined Eglinton Avenue.
Yeah. And that's one thing. And then they have, like, a Finch line that they're working on as well. There's a few lines that they're working on, which, first off, it doesn't make sense. They're all above ground in a city where above ground transit is the worst option, because we saw what happened to the LRT in the Scarborough.
Yeah,
that literally got destroyed because it was so hard to maintain, and it was always down for maintenance because it was outside and we have extreme weather here.
Yeah,
so our infrastructure is not built for this weather.
There's also not enough space. Like, we already struggle with traffic.
Yeah.
In and of itself.
Yeah.
Funny enough, actually, I have to tell you a story. Mm-hmm. Total side note, okay? Total side note. So my dad and I go to work together. Mm-hmm. And we were driving home, and, you know, the DVP during rush hour is already, like, bad, like, on its own.
Yeah.
But there were two accidents that day. Mm-hmm. And so we got off at, I think it was, like, Lawrence, like, near shops at Dunmills area. Yeah. And, of course, the day that we happened to take that route, thinking we were, like, you know, escaped and, like, found a faster path, there was a friggin' fire. Did you see that in the news? There was a building on fire. And, like, unfortunately, I think one or two people passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, it was pretty bad.
This was on Don Mills?
Like, close by. Like, it was basically the route that the GPS was taking us. Yeah. Only for that road to be closed because the police were like, no, like, there's a investigation. Oh, I guess the
GPS never accounted for it yet.
No, because it just happened. Mm. Like, it was just happening.
Yeah.
And so it ended up taking us 2 hours to get home that day. It was great. We go home at 7 o'clock.
We all have one of those stories where, like, what should normally be a one-hour drive or what you expect to be a one-hour drive, which should be a 30-minute drive.
Yeah.
To, like, a 2 or 3-hour drive. There's one time where I was stuck.
New Year's Eve.
I think it, huh?
New Year's Eve.
No. This was coming back from work.
Oh, from work.
This was, like, so bad that I was stuck, like, on a road. And I think, like, this was in the middle of winter to where when I left, like, Maghrib had not come in yet. And by the time I get home, Isha would come in, right?
Yeah.
So, and usually there's a spot that I would stop off somewhere halfway. It literally, there was so much traffic that I didn't even make it to the spot that I could stop off. I was still stuck on the road because I was stuck at this one spot without moving for like an hour plus. Yeah. I did not know what to, I think I, at that point, I like, I think I had to like get out of the car and, you know, like the side streets, not side streets, but like, yeah, that, like a side street.
The shoulder of the highway.
The shoulder of the highway. I had to jump out of there. And it was also snowing. That's the reason it was bad. So I'm doing this. My Salat Kaleem.
Prayer mat.
My prayer mat was wet. Soaking wet.
Was it the plastic one at least?
Wet. What? Was no, it was the cloth one? You see. Yeah.
Damn.
Because normally it's thick enough. Like it has this like material on the bottom where even if it is kind of wet outside, it's still okay.
Yeah.
But it was just really bad this day.
Mm-hmm. Damn. I don't know. I feel like we already kind of complain about Toronto's infrastructure.
Yeah, everybody's sick of us hearing about this now.
But listen, if you're not from here now, you know what it feels like.
Yeah.
So don't move here. Sorry, Hanan. I know you're already here and you're kind of stuck here, but.
Yeah, we don't need more people, okay? I'm just saying we're trying to get the prices to come down. We'll see what's going to happen in the next few weeks because of all this other stuff we're going to go on. We'll get into that later, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, but. What else for the recap of the week? I think we talked, at least for me, those are the two main things. Outside of that today, you know, I went to like High Park for the first time. Not for the first time. I've been to High Park because like, you know, now I'm trying to like show my wife the city and stuff. Mm. And I feel like High Park as Easterners, we're both Easterners, is like something we just never.
Yeah, the farthest
it wasn't we'll go something was we would go to.
Like Riverdale. We've done Riverdale.
Yeah. Park. Think of High Park like Central Park. If you're...
Is it really like Central Park?
Yeah, it's similar to Central Park in that like it has like a zoo, which we actually, for the first time I went to, and I didn't know what to expect. It was more, but sort of what I was expecting. It was more than what I was expecting, but kind of like not that much more than what I was expecting. But there were actually animals there.
I see. I didn't know that.
It's not like, you know, super exotic animals. Like you're talking about the one that I was... kind of surprised by was there was a whole bison, like bisons there. Like these, you know what a bison is, right?
Yeah, like why?
Yeah, these giant bisons are in there in little, you know, zoo that they have there. Like one reindeer.
Aww.
It didn't have any horns because it looks like its horns like had fallen off recently.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, and it had like capybaras. You know capybaras? They're like those giant rodent look. They're like
We have those here?
Yeah.
Those are Australian.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we have them here too.
Okay.
And, you know, they got, the, you know, your emus, they got your,
yeah,
your llamas, which the llamas were probably the most like interactive because the moment you like put any food in their face, they're going to come to you, right? So the moment people start swinging stuff, whatever it was in their hand, they start coming over so you can at least like get a closer view of them.
Could you buy snacks for them to eat or no?
No, you're actually not supposed to feed any of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know the kids. They're out here. Like, there's kids picking up leaves off the floor and just giving it to the llamas. The llamas were just eating it. They'll take it, whatever. Yeah, I felt bad because there was one family where the kid had, like, a long piece of, like, wheat or, like, it had wheat on the end of it or whatever. And I thought she was going to feed it to the llama. And the llama came over. And she started teasing the llama, like, going back and forth. That's and you'd think the parents would be like, oh, no, you know, take it and, like, give it to the llama or whatever because he really wants it. The parents were, like, laughing and enjoying this, literally torturing, not torturing, but, you know,
the llama
playing around with
face.
The llama's emotions, you know. But
yeah.
It was interesting just seeing that and knowing and, like, not realizing that was next to me the whole time. And next to us, technically. Like, we could have gone there anytime.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's just we always had this, like, weird aversion to the West End. It was just so far. It felt very far.
Yeah, which is crazy because now that half of you guys live in the West Side.
I know.
I have to do the drive every time.
But now we have a reason. You have like a reason to explore Hyde Park. There's so much there. They have a zoo.
Yeah.
They have like an observatory, I think.
Hmm?
Like for plants and stuff. I believe they do.
That's not called an observatory. It's called a... What's that word?
It's not an observatory?
No.
I'm pretty sure it's an observatory.
No, that's for like stars and stuff, planets.
Oh.
This is a greenhouse?
Yeah, greenhouse. Well, there's a greenhouse, but it wasn't accessible to like regular people.
Oh.
But I think they have another one that's like open to regular people, or maybe that's another side of the city. I can't remember. But they have some stuff there to see. Okay. They have the cherry blossoms. Maybe we can go over cherry blossom season.
Yeah, because they're not out yet, right?
Like no, not right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Right now everything's still just sticks out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But that was something, and then literally we came here.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's your recap?
My week. What did I do? Started a new job.
Well, technically
same company,
yeah,
different role. I was inspired to be challenged, you know, try something new. Mm-hmm. I feel like I...
How different is it from your original job?
Oh, it's very different.
Oh, is it actually?
I have no idea what I'm doing.
I thought you were just doing the same thing with just a different team.
No, like I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
What I'm doing.
Yeah,
but you know what, that's okay, because I think I really I love the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
But I always grow the most when I'm uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting, like, obviously when you're at work, like, you always think about your professional development and your professional growth.
Mm-hmm.
But you never realize like how much your personal development happens naturally anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, you know, what's funny is like, so I started working for the company that I work for before I started this podcast with you.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And so it's funny because the people who knew me when I first started,
mm-hmm,
to now, they're always talking about like, oh my God, like you've really blossomed. Like you've just like...
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
I'm out of your shell.
At work?
I guess at work too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just naturally happened through this podcast too.
Okay.
Like, I think it just...
Glad to know this podcast helped with that.
Well, yeah, that. And mm-hmm, like, also, I think it's just the fact that the first maybe 2 years of, mm-hmm, me working there, like, I was very private about my, mm-hmm, personal life. But now, like, I have everyone on Instagram. So they see,
yeah,
this whole other life and they're just like, who are you? Mm-hmm. You have a whole podcast?
I think it's because also just generally when we grew up, we were more insular. Like, our group was very closed off.
Closed off, but we were,
right?
We also, I feel like we've always had like two lives. We've always had like our Monday to Friday school life.
That's what I mean by closed off. Is it like when you left school or when you left whatever,
yeah,
wherever,
like,
you
no
were?
No one ever knew what you were doing,
yeah,
on the weekend.
Yeah,
you were
exactly
never available. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And then like now, you know, your life kind of becomes incorporated with work as you make friends with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they want to see what you're up to, like when you take time off.
Oh, shoot. That was another thing I forgot. We went at work. We went to escape room and we did like an escape room and we had like dinner and stuff for work.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I completely forgot about that.
You mean like this week?
This week? Yeah. And we won. We won the escape room,
did
too.
Did you?
Yeah, we beat it with like 5 minutes left on the clock.
Was it a scary one?
No. Thankfully, it wasn't. Yeah. When they made that plan and like it was the day before, because I tend to not check my email as much as work. I'm one of those people. But like when I saw that it was an escape room, my heart dropped for a second. I immediately went to the guy. I was like, please tell me it's not an escape, scary place. Like, oh, don't worry. We made sure not to do that. Because one of the options was for a live actor. I was like, please not that one.
Which one was this one?
Oh, was this is in the West End.
The Downsview one?
No, this is in the West End in Mississauga.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Got it.
You haven't heard this place.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's just been an eventful week. I got sick again.
Of course. Come on.
I'm always sick at this point.
What is this? You gotta, I don't know. Start eating all the fruit and all the veggies you can get. And
I have.
Like, just change that gut biome. What is it? Yeah, the gut biome thing, what they keep talking about.
Yeah, I started fiber supplements, prebiotics, probiotics, all
that stuff. Exactly.
And trust me, I'm doing it all. Mm-hmm. So I'm about to be in like tip-top shape for this 5K that we're running together, right?
Yeah, totally.
You didn't sign up, did you?
Yeah,
I'm here! Yeah,
okay.
Guys, give us 100 likes on this video, 200 likes on this video, and Amir will sign up, and we will both wear custom Cooking Connection shirts. I don't know how we're going to make it,
okay,
but we
sure,
will.
Sure. I'll do that. Yeah.
200 likes, and we will make sure to do that.
Yeah. Hit that like button, okay?
Okay.
If you want to see us running and dying on a course.
But to end off my week, yesterday I went to Hassan Phil's This Tour Is Jokes.
Isn't it Idiot Mubarak?
Well, yes, but it was also like kickstarting This Tour Is Jokes. Mm-hmm. Mashallah, he had 3 sold-out shows in Toronto. Mm-hmm.
I would know. As someone who's a very big procrastinator.
I sent Amir the link like weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll get it. I should have known when he never confirmed. Mm-hmm. Because the night before, aka Friday night.
It wasn't like the night before.
Okay, it was Thursday night.
Yeah.
He goes, hey, so like... Mm-hmm. How come there's only one? I'm looking at the tickets and there are only single seats left. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, I'm not sure. And I was like, I would double check with Hassan just in case. Like, maybe message him just to be sure. And unfortunately, Hassan confirmed no. Like,
that's... Yeah, Mans was like, I guess you're single now.
Yeah. He's like, listen, I know you got married, but I guess you're single tonight.
Oh, God.
But honestly, like, I know... And he told us this, like, we've had him on our podcast, I think, when we were still we still are nobodies, but, like, when, back then, you know, when we were still fresh and he was still fresh. Mm-hmm. And at the time, he had told us, like, people who don't understand comedy sets don't realize that, like, yes, you have to repeat the jokes because that's your set.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we've been to a couple of his shows, and I can actually say, even if he's telling the same jokes, it's never...
Yeah, he's worked on
it. The same delivery. Mm-hmm. And like this was probably the best one, the best show that I've attended. Like all the other ones were always funny too.
Yeah.
But it was just like the variety of the comedians as well. Like it was such a great like show, and mashallah, like seeing the turnout, and it was also like a big Toronto community reunion too, because I see all these people that I know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh my God, hey guys.
It's crazy like to see like the people you've seen on on your journey.
Yeah.
Because our community still in Toronto is like so, not small. Yeah, it is somewhat small. Mm-hmm. That like the same people that we've met along our growth, like he's met them along the growth. That's why you see the same people and you know them, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so... I didn't get to stick around and like actually speak to him because as soon as the show ended, the way that just like there were people everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, social anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so I ran out of there. So yeah, it was good.
When did
though.
It finish? I feel like it would have finished like around midnight, no?
Yeah, 11:45. But here's the reason why, because our show started at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or no, I think it was 9:45. Mm-hmm. I think. Maybe.
Like it was like doors open 9 o'clock or something like that, right?
Yeah, like it was supposed to start at 9:30, started at 9:45.
Because you also had a show that was right before that one. So I feel like
exactly. That
transition is also takes some time.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to reset.
And he has like a couple special guests, which I think now, like if you follow him on Instagram, you'll see like his uncle is there.
Oh, the Jamaican uncle?
Yeah. And he like he got dressed up. He wore a suit.
No way.
And he like had a little like thing. It was really funny. Yeah. I'm not going to say what it was because I don't want to spoil his thing. But it was
he told me they were filming.
Yeah. They were filming it.
Yeah.
And he also was like at the merch table. Mm-hmm. The uncle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was actually really funny. Like, I think the sweaters were like $45. So he's like, for less than $1 a day. So yeah, was it
the That's Crazy shirts?
Yeah, but they had a new colorway. Oh, so really? Like a yellow color. Mm,
okay.
But yeah, so that show happened, and I thought it was really like, okay, so the event was sponsored by Muzmatch, or mm-hmm. sorry, Muzz. Let me get the name right.
Formerly known as Muzmatch.
Mm-hmm. And so they had this giant truck with like
LED screens. I saw that. Yeah. Outside of it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was funny because like the signs, like Muzz's marketing team deserves a raise.
Mm-hmm. Because remember the Mohammed one?
Yes. Yeah. They've been like, and I didn't remember, we didn't know until we like looked it up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like they did a really great job with that marketing, and then as soon as you walk into the venue, mm-hmm. they had a whole like table area where it was like his welcome sign, but then it was like they were handing out free roses, so everyone was taking a rose.
That's why he had a rose in the picture.
Yeah, that's why.
I saw you girls with roses. I was like, ooh, who's
who gave them roses? Yo, you thought it was a romantic evening? No, unfortunately not. But mm-hmm. Muzz gave out roses, and then they also had like a photo booth. Mm-hmm. As well, but yeah, it was really cool. And they had I think it's MWC, Muslim Welfare Canada.
Oh yeah, the one he's been advertising with recently, like to promote mm-hmm. their charities.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. they also had a raffle, like $1,000 gift ticket, gift certificate mm-hmm. someone won. And to end off the show, it was actually a really special moment. There was
you gotta set it up.
I know. Like okay. So let me tell you what was happening. Okay. So we're approaching the end of the show, or at least we thought it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, throughout the entire night, because the event was sponsored by Muzz, like mm-hmm. Hassan did a really good job at incorporating like relationship conversations, like who's married, who's single. And so did the other comedian. So mm-hmm. it was like it just flowed.
Yeah.
And so in the front row, usually if you sit in the front row at a like a comedy show, you're going to get picked on. Like that's just how it is. And so there was this couple, and when he was saying like who's married, who's like gonna get married, mm-hmm. and then this couple put their hand up, and so they were explaining like they're gonna do their nikah soon, mm-hmm. And so yeah, like they were just interacting with him throughout the night.
Yeah.
And so at one point he's like, okay, so now we're gonna do like a segment where we're actually gonna play a game. Mm-hmm. Let's pick two people who wants to like volunteer. He's looking around. He's like, oh, why don't we do the couple that's going to get married next week? Mm-hmm. Might as well just pick you guys. So they're like, okay. So they go on stage. And the whole point of the game is, you know, when you like blindfold yourself and you have to like feel something and guess what it is?
Yeah.
So that's what they were doing. So he's giving them random objects like a flower, mm-hmm. a lint roller, a ketchup packet. And so then after that, the girl is still blindfolded. The guy takes his off.
Yeah.
And he gets down on one knee and he proposes. And like, while she was still blindfolded.
Yeah.
And he's kneeling, like, all the girls are like, oh my. And then
the girl's Hassan's probably like with them.
Hassan was like, shh. Stop it. So I have a picture of it. I'll send it to him. Yeah, send it to me. Put it here.
Send it to me right after this too.
I will. I'll send it to you. And so he proposed to her, and she was so shook, like she mm-hmm. was crying. It was very really? Cute. Yeah, she did not expect that mm-hmm. at all. And so then they obviously take the mics, and he was asking them, like, mm-hmm. you know, like the guy said the story. He's like, listen, so, you know, I've been planning this out for like the past month, and basically, like, he was saying that when they were getting to know each other, they wanted to go about it the correct way. And so he spoke to her dad a week into them interacting.
Yeah.
And their nikah is next week, mm-hmm. inshallah. And so her only thing that she asked was, like, I want to be proposed to, mm-hmm. but I want it to be a surprise, like a complete surprise.
Yeah.
So then he was like, when they got tickets for this show.
Yeah.
He was like, she'll never suspect this, because he was like, it's a week away, and mm-hmm. she's been bothering him, like, so, you know, I just want to remind you. Mm-hmm. And he was like, please stop reminding me. Like, I know, I will figure it out. Just leave it.
Oh, because like, it was
a week away. Know, yeah. So she's like, hello, mm-hmm. are you going to propose? And he pulled it off, and all the guys in the audience were like, damn, the bar has been set high. Like every guy was saying that. Even Hassan was like, all right, guys in the audience, take notes.
Oh my God. And you know, may Allah bless their marriage.
I mean,
shout out. That's the one thing about Hassan. He's like super, you know,
very supportive.
Supportive, but also he's like easy to get in. Not he interacts with fans and people who are like his followers, yeah, and stuff.
Exactly.
A lot easier. He's not like very stush about that. So
yeah. Yeah. So it was very nice to, like, you know, it was like, you know, we had a night full of laughter, mm-hmm, and then also like he helped someone get proposed to. So
yeah. Shout out to, nice, Hassan, the show, and inshallah, you know, he grows even more. Well, of course, he's I know, knowing his work ethic, like, no this doubt is still just a start. Like, I feel like, yeah, he's, you know, he's got to make that move to America. That's, I like know, the next step there.
I know.
And then next thing you know, we'll be seeing him like play. I don't know. What's the next big thing? What's that thing in New York? The Garden Center?
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, we're manifesting that right now.
Inshallah. We see that for your future.
Yeah. We'll send this clip directly.
I know. I'm going to send it to, like, watch this right now.
Yeah.
Say Ameen to all the du'as we're making for, mm-hmm, you.
So, speaking of, you know, Muslim matchmaking sites in general, there's another app that's known in the Muslim community called Salams.
It's direct competition.
It's direct competition at the moment. And recently, they've been hit with some controversy, mm-hmm, because the owner, or at least... Yeah, I guess the owner of Salams sold the company to a larger group that is run by a CEO called Spencer Raskoff, who happens to be a Zionist. And, like, specifically, when I look this guy up, like, what makes him that? Because sometimes people can, you know, they can kind of exaggerate things.
Yeah.
But this guy has, like, purposely, or I mean, intentionally, like, posted links that are GoFundMes to helping relocate people to, like, Palestinian territory. Yeah.
What?
It, after the, like, October 7th attack, whatever.
This is the guy that owns, like, Tinder.
Yeah, and they own, like a bunch of other ones. Or whatever, exactly.
All those ones?
Yeah, so okay, people have been boycotting it now and, like, calling them out for this. And, like, I don't know why they thought this would be a good move for that company. Maybe the people who own Salams are just like, you know, let's just kind of, like, you know, we made our money, let's get out of here. And they don't really care about the consequences.
Definition of a sellout
platform. Exactly. They literally sold out. So that's been, like, a big controversy recently within the Muslim community.
All I'm thinking about now is, mm-hmm, how Muzmatch is going to use this to their advantage.
I don't think they even need to do anything different, because now that people are actively boycotting it, the only other platform that's currently available to them, outside of, like, the one that we spoke about a while ago called In Pairs, which is, I don't think it's officially launched yet.
I think it has.
Oh, sorry. It has launched.
They're a little bit unique, where, like, they work with mosques and stuff.
I think the way he explained it, I saw a video recently of the In Pairs owner. I forget his name. I'm really bad
Zakaria.
With names, guys. Zakaria, yeah.
Yes.
He posted about it because he was actually speaking about this, you know? He's doing a little bit of this competition now, you know what I'm saying? But he was talking about how, like, In Pairs, how it works, sort of, like, a little bit of the back end. And he actually, well, yeah, he was talking about the back end, and essentially he said that, like, because they're working with masjids, it's not going to be like, I don't know, Muhammad in California matches with, like, Mariam in Pennsylvania, right? Where you're automatically setting up, not for failure, but making it hard for them by adding distance to the equation, because then a lot of other things can kind of come into that, into the middle of that. So what he does is, like, he works with masjids to the where there's maybe two masjids in Dallas. So it's like Muhammad from this masjid is matched with, like, Khadija in the other masjid, but they're not that far from each other, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes, you know, interactions a lot easier. It makes the communities are kind of probably already know about each other. So it definitely helps with that. And he also came out saying that, like, I think if you sign up for In Pairs, he won't charge you if they don't find a match for you at all.
Oh.
Yeah. So before, okay, I think it was like, because the way it works is that they come out with, like, a list every every month? I think it's, don't quote me on that, but it's something like that, where they come out with what your matches are at the end of the month. It's not like the other apps where you're kind of swiping right and left or whatever, like your typical dating apps that you've seen. Mm. This one's more like hands-off. Like, you sign up for it, you put in your information, and they'll do all the work for you. So they'll give you your potential partner, or not your potential, not partners, matches. But like matches. Yeah, potential matches at the end of the month. And you kind of say like, okay, yes, no, that kind of thing. And then you just wait for the next month. I can't believe it's every 2 weeks or every month. But yeah, you said that if they can't find a match for you, they're not going to charge you for that month. So, you know,
that's pretty good.
That's how another app might benefit from what's happening currently to their competition, right? So maybe Muzmatch, but that one's, their model is very different, right? But they might come out with some type of discount or something to kind of take in.
If you're moving here from Salams, you get a 5% discount. That'd be really funny.
Yeah, that could be a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Yeah, but that's definitely been a big controversy recently. It would be awkward if like it was Salams that ended up like supporting, or not supporting, but sponsoring the show.
I know, right?
Yeah. Mm. You know, he lucked out on that one, but yes.
Yeah. For real.
But yeah, next on the docket, we have the Hands Off March. Have you heard about the Hands Off March?
I've heard of the Hands Off movement for like other things, but
there was an actual march that happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And literally all across America, because everybody's been seeing what's happening in America, especially with the tariffs. We can get into that afterwards, but like, everybody is suffering right now. Everybody's getting hit from different angles. Like, this Hands Off March was for so many different things. Because I think I saw a video of someone reacting to it, or someone in the streets. It was like a black dude. He's like, hey, one thing that I know, things are serious because I'm just seeing a bunch of old white people here and veterans. Mm. And like, you know, it's bad when like the people who typically you see voting conservative are out here marching against the government.
That's true.
Right. So it was like millions of people across like every state. Every state had a march, the Hands Off March. And specifically in D.C., like for us specifically, of course, we're more concerned about what's happening in Palestine. So they had a lot of people there for that, you know, Hands Off Palestine, just mm-hmm. trying to support people. I believe Omar Suleiman actually spoke at the event.
Oh, he went to D.C. for it?
He went to D.C. for it. There are other Muslim content creators, or just people who are pro-Palestinian, who were coming on stage as well and speaking out about it. And then, of course, he had the other people who were mad about the tariffs. Mm. And to get into the tariffs, I guess, Trump finally went through with his threat, and he came out with this giant chart, and he tariffed 180 countries in the world, basically almost every country
in the world.
And like, the way he did this, it literally did not make any sense. Like, they said the calculations he did to come up with these random numbers, with these numbers for what he's going to be tariffing these other countries, doesn't economically make sense, because essentially how the equation broke down for how he came up with this is like, it's the amount that America exports to that country versus the amount that America imports from that country. So he divided that number and made it into percentage and gave that, which doesn't make sense, because there are plenty of examples of countries that produce certain things that America can't produce themselves, mm-hmm. whether it be coffee, whether it be certain types of oil, whether it be like materials,
textiles.
A lot of these things just can't be produced in America because they don't have the plants or whatever in that country to make it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're going to have a disparity and the amount of stuff that you're taking in from that country versus what you're exporting to them. Because America, their biggest export has always been a joke, because their biggest export is like entertainment, right? They don't have much else to export to other countries outside of maybe oil and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're seeing like countries that are getting like 60% tariffs.
And that's insane.
Yeah, like 60, 30, 40. And even the countries, like his whole thing is saying like, it's unfair that we have this deficit. He's becoming a trade deficit, which is what I just explained, where they're taking in more than they are exporting to them. Mm-hmm. He thinks that's a bad thing just immediately, or like by default it's a bad thing, when it's not, because it's like not what I just mentioned. So for the countries where there might be a trade surplus, where America actually is exporting more to that country than importing, you'd think, okay, you know, that's not, from his perspective, they should not be someone who's taking advantage of America, like he says. But he still put a minimum of a 10% tariff on them, which made no sense.
He's just going to cause, like, everyone's going to end up making America the enemy.
Yeah, and we saw that with the, like, they say, okay, they say the stock market is not a one-to-one indicator of the economy, but it could be a indicator of, like, where it could be, where it might be going.
Yeah.
Right? Because, it's like, it includes a lot of sentiment about what's going on with the economy. Mm-hmm. So immediately, once he implemented that, the stock market started crashing. They're dropping.
I heard about that.
Like, 6% one day, 6% another day, which is unheard of. Like, this is the biggest drop that has happened ever in the stock market, right? And it's happened before in the past, right? So, and the thing is that there is actually precedence for this, for something similar like this happening in the Great Depression. In, like, 1929, the American government, the Great Depression was already in play, like, already happening. And the government, the American government thought, like, okay, how do we, you know, beef up our economy, right? And for some reason, they thought that increasing their tariffs would help, you know, bring jobs back to America and, you know, promote production within America. But it did the exact opposite. So we know that tariffs don't work. But of course, he still went through it. And like, now people are kind of jumping ship. There are a lot of people within the Trump's like administration who are like, yeah, we don't know what's going on here. We might even just quit for this. There are a lot of like right wing talking heads, or like, what are they called? Influencers who are starting to jump ship as well and saying, okay, this is a bad idea. I don't know what he's thinking right now.
Have any of the countries retaliated by?
Oh yeah. Like, a lot of countries are retaliating with more tariffs on them, right? Canada, weirdly enough, Canada specifically has been like left out of the general, like 100% tariff on everything. Not 100% tariff, but like on these tariffs that he put on other countries is for everything. But for Canada, he's like, I'm only going to put these tariffs on for like the automotive industry, which is the biggest trading that we do within America.
Yeah.
With America outside of like lumber.
Yeah.
Right? So this is still going to affect at least some of our markets.
Like,
right?
Car prices.
Yeah, like car prices. But
as if they already weren't high enough.
Exactly, right? Damn. So everything is going to be affected by this.
Yeah.
Globally, this is a global crisis, which is why I feel like it's important to kind of continue to speak about these, because like people might be like, oh, in the middle of, I don't know, you're the one Egyptian leader listener we have, they may not think that a lot of things you speak about affect them, but this specifically, this action that he's taking right now affects everyone in the world,
which is crazy that he's even doing that.
Yeah. And of course, the moment he implemented this, guess where he goes? Guess where this orange man goes?
Where did he go?
This guy went to a golfing tournament in Mar-a-Lago.
So funny. Like, he flew to
Mar-a-Lago.
I don't even know where that is.
That's his like golfing. That's his like escape. The place that he stays with the stays the most. He does not like staying at the White House. He goes to Mar-a-Lago. It's like his resort.
Where
in
is
Miami.
It? Oh, in Miami.
Or not in Miami. In Florida. In Florida. Okay, sorry. Okay. It's in Florida. And he goes there. He has his own like golfing course. And he runs like tournaments there all the time.
He's so goofy.
Yeah, people are like looking for him in this time of crisis, and he's literally in the middle of a golfing tournament. And there was like another thing going on where America, I guess in Lithuania, they had these training exercises with the military, and somehow they lost like four of their American soldiers in this training exercise.
Like, they died?
Yeah, they passed away. So they're flying them back, right? And typically when something like this happens, the American, the president will go there to like be there with the families and like accept this,
like the loss.
Accept the return of their bodies.
Oh yeah, when they, okay.
Yeah, it is something that presidents normally always do, and he's like, I can't make it, guys. And when they asked him for why he can't make it, he's like, I just won my first round of this tournament. I'm making it to the next round. I'm sorry, I can't make it. I got this golf tournament going on.
That's crazy.
That was literally his response. I have a golf tournament going on.
And then, president of the United States of America, yeah. And you're more concerned about a golf tournament. Like, where are your priorities?
And the thing is that, ironically enough, I think it was during like Biden's presidency, whatever, there was a similar situation where he was receiving the bodies of soldiers who passed away, and I can't remember what it was exactly for, but there was a big controversy because Biden went to it.
Okay.
He went to this thing, but he checked his watch. He literally, he was just standing there. He was like this. He was just standing there. Everybody's like, they're standing. He goes like this for a second, and he goes back down and continues with whatever. And it was a huge controversy, of course, on like Fox News or whatever, just because he checked his watch. Because
it looks like he's like, are they almost done?
Yeah, exactly. And then you have this happen. Not a peep. Not a peep from them.
I'm sure he controls the media.
I don't. He doesn't. Like, they, his influence is what controls the media.
Because
they know that if they start speaking out about him, he'll start making some tweets. All the MAGA supporters will go against him, against that media outlet, call them like, what's that word they call them again? Like corporate media, whatever. And yeah, now they lose a bunch of their support. So they got to kind of like, you know, play the part.
Yeah. But
yeah, so these tariffs have been causing a lot of issues because people are like, oh, you know, what matters if the markets fall or whatever? And
I mean, it definitely does matter.
The thing is that a lot of, in America specifically, and even around the world, a lot of people's retirement funds, like in America specifically, is like TFS, 401ks. And in Canada, it's like RSPs. And if you're like TFSAs, if you're like controlling it yourself, these are like different ways of investing for your future, or at least for retirement. All these are tied to the market. So when these come down, all these people who have all this money into their in their retirement, they're losing, it's losing its value.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why it affects a lot of older people, right? And on top of that, of course, you had, because this is all in, I'm kind of speaking around the march that happened, the hands-off march. And then besides that, you also have the people who lost their jobs. A lot of veterans I mentioned, a lot of people are losing their jobs, like in the IRS, in these other federal, not bureaucracies, federal bureaus, like basically,
oh, yeah,
in the federal government, like a lot of people are losing their jobs, and those are the people who are also joining this march as well. So that's why there's such a huge group of people you normally don't see out on the streets who are doing, taking part in this march. It's like people from all walks of life, which shows you how serious this is. I think my wife, Hanan, made a like comment where she's like, I wonder, like, if I wish we could like tell who was a Trump supporter, because that's how you really know if the mindsets or like the sentiment towards Trump is actually changing, right? Because people forget that more than half the country voted for this guy.
That's true.
Right? So that's the most ridiculous thing. You voted for this. You knew this kind of person he was.
Sorry.
What happened?
I really have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, no. Okay. Go. Okay. Status back. But yeah. There's a lot. I was talking about the hands-off movement. Another aspect of it that I forgot to mention, or not I forgot to mention, another aspect of it is that there's also, like, we talked about Mahmoud Khalil last time, who was, like, disappeared off the streets, literally, and he's still in being detained right now. And now we have another person, and we're hearing about more cases, but this is another one that blew up, which was a Turkish student this time,
yes,
called Rumeysa Öztürk. She's from Turkey, like I mentioned, but she was literally abducted on the street. And like, there's this weird thing that the ICE agents have been doing. They're all wearing masks, like they're all hiding their identity, and you're seeing every video you see with them out here literally taking people off the streets, they're always wearing masks. Like, why are you trying to hide your identity? You're already doing something horrible, so what, take a responsibility, it's for it,
super,
right?
Sketchy.
Yeah, they're supposed to be agents. Why you're not supposed to be covering your face like that, yet they're still doing it. And yeah, you can see the video. It's like a very disturbing video where she's just walking down the street. A dude walks up to her. She thinks that like the dude is just trying to ask her a question at first. And then he like immediately tries to put his hands on her. And you see like six other people just come out of nowhere and surround her and like handcuff her and throw her into her truck. And now people just don't know where she is.
I think like the ICE agents probably are aware that if they're abducting people, I'm gonna say it like that, on the streets, like there are so many surveillance cameras now.
No, but let them be known who they are.
Yeah, but they're probably afraid for their own like safety.
I don't know, man. If you're already afraid for your safety, you shouldn't be doing that job.
True, you're not wrong.
So they're supporting a fascist government in what they're doing, essentially. Yeah. So and this has become so normalized that or so much expected now that people are actually fleeing. They're fleeing America for Canada. Like, first off, there were three people. There were these three professors from, like, I think it's Yale, mm-hmm. Who they weren't scared for, like, being abducted by the government or anything, but they actually left because, specifically, ironically enough, they specialize in, like, fascistic, like, movements and government. Like, that's where their expertise is.
Yeah.
So they already saw when they're leaving the country, you already know, like, things are getting really bad because they are the experts in this. They know where this is leading to.
Right.
So they actually left and, like, are now working at University of Toronto.
No way.
Yeah.
They were accepted instantly.
Yeah. And there was specifically another student who, I forget her name. She was an Indian student. She was here on a visa. Mm-hmm. And I guess ICE was coming after her because they were trying to revoke her student visa, possibly for protesting as well. And when they came to her dorm, they found out she wasn't there, and later it was revealed that she actually already went to Canada and is now, like, seeking asylum in Canada. It's crazy that this is something that, like, people are usually, when you hear people seeking asylum or seeking protection, it's from a country
like a war-torn country.
Yeah, war-torn country or somewhere where, like, the government is going after, you know, certain people for their political views. That's what's happening in America, and now they're coming to our country. It's crazy to think that America is that country now, where people can't, now even students, like people in college and in universities, they're being more protective, or they're being more
selective on who they accept, you mean?
Not the university itself. The students are being a lot more cautious about what they post, what they wear outside, like where they have their phones on. I think there was a TikTok I saw. I don't know if this was one of the reasons, but there's someone who was like, where's all the Gen Z people at these protests? And when I was talking about the hands-off protest, and someone in the comments is like, yo, Gen Z is scared out here. A lot of them are students, and they're scared about repercussions for being out here on the streets. And they're like, the ones that have gone out have turned off their phones or left their phones at home and covered their faces just so they can't, because, you know, they're using all these cameras and AI now.
Right.
They're just so they can't be identified for their, like, physical features. Because now the government, they have all their face identification data or whatever.
Yeah.
They have all the surveillance. They can see who you are.
Yeah.
You remember those videos we saw when the Palestine protests were going on, where the police were literally, like, throwing up cameras in the air and taking video of everyone so they can, like, track them and have some type of, like, identification for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you hear about this whole, like, fascistic state and it's turning to that. People think that they're kind of, like, going overboard with those statements, but you're seeing it happen in real time.
It's like, all I can think about is, you know, that, like, the phrase, like, welcome to America, where it's spelt with 3 Ks.
Yeah. It is all kind of in, you know, pursuit of that.
Obviously.
Right?
Yeah, that's the hidden agenda, but exactly. It's not really hidden anymore.
It's not. It's definitely not hidden
out
anymore.
Out in plain sight.
Exactly. But, you know, it's crazy how people can be manipulated so easily, right? And now that they're defunding, like, education in America, it's only going to get worse, right? So that's something that we've been keeping an eye on up here north of the border. And, of course, for us, it's, like, something we definitely have to keep an eye on because, first off, they're, like, our biggest – they were supposed to be our biggest ally and our biggest trading partner.
I don't know if we want to be allied with them anymore. Like, that's kind of
– and as we mentioned in the last episode, like, now – even going across the border, people have to be a little bit more cautious and
like
scared.
Us.
Yeah. Like, even my sister Aisha, she's like, I got a green card, but still, you know, they could deny it. They could do whatever they want at this point, right? Yeah. There are no rules.
Yeah.
Right? So it's definitely something we've been keeping an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting what's going to happen in the next few weeks because, he is doubling down on the terrorists and, like, he's not backing down.
Yeah, I mean, low-key, he's standing on business, but, like, the wrong business, you know?
Yeah, it's bad business.
Like, Trump, get your head in the game, please. Like, you were once upon a time allegedly a good businessman. You are not doing a good job running the country.
And there's definitely, like, some nefarious reason, like we mentioned there, but I don't know how, like, I don't know where they're going to go from here. Like, what's the next step? Because now that the tariffs are in, like, what's the next step? What are they going to do next? They've already been, like, taking people off the street. I think I even saw a video to go back to them taking people off the street. But this is more about, like, the South Americans who are being taken or people who have come from Mexico, they're people with American citizenship and or proper visas, work visas and stuff from Mexico, who are taken up off the street, taken to Mexico and just left on the road there. Nothing. So like, these are people, when I'm saying people, like random people are taking, these are people with full on families. They have houses, they have jobs. There's a guy they specifically filmed and like followed his story, and he was literally just going into work. He has a job, he has a house, he has a car, everything. He literally has a work truck. He has a work visa. He's getting ready to get citizenship, whatever. They just picked him up at work. He was transferred to different facilities across America, and eventually was dropped across the border in Mexico.
But like, why?
What?
Just because?
Just because he's not a criminal or anything. Before they were saying, oh, we're going to go after criminals, right? But they're just picking up random people, right? And there's that whole thing where they're selling people to jail in Venezuela.
What?
It's like a maximum security jail. They're saying like all the gang members and like MS-13, whatever, has been placed here. But then there are multiple cases, and even one that the administration admitted to getting wrong, of a family man who was taken here. This is a jail where immediately when you get there, they put you in like plain clothes, they shave off your head and just like put you in these giant cells with hundreds of other people. And this is a regular family man who's put in a cell with like confirmed gang members as well, right? So he's definitely not safe being there.
That's crazy.
And they're like, okay, yeah, you admitted that you're wrong to take this guy here. He's a citizen and whatever, and he has the right papers. And they're like, yeah, but we're still not going to bring him out.
What?
Yeah. So these are the things that are coming out and that are happening down there. And it's crazy that's happening right across the border. And like, you know, the people are still acting like it's actually, no, I was going to say people are still acting like it's business as usual, but
no, it's not.
Clearly that's not the case.
Yeah. It's definitely, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the update on what's been going on in the past 2 weeks. And it seems like every 2 weeks you can continue to give updates on what's going on. Right now, yeah. I don't know what the next step is. Tariffs were like a big thing we've been talking about in the past couple months. Now they've been implemented. So now it's just the, what do you call it? The fall off, or the, what is it when like there's an explosion? It's like the aftermath? Yeah, the aftermath. What's going to happen? How does this affect everything? How does this affect Canada? Because I'm thinking we're not the ones who are imposing tariffs on the other countries. We're trying to create better relations with those other countries right now.
Right.
We have an election coming up in a month.
Yeah. Or the end of this month.
At the end of this month.
Yeah.
People are saying it's most likely going to be a liberal government again. They're going to win again. Because the Conservative Party has been tied to Trump and stuff. And like with all this stuff going on, it's not helping them. Definitely. Yeah. Right. So,
I mean, if they're able to have a successful campaign where they can truly distance themselves and like earn the trust of Canadians, they might have a fighting chance, but it doesn't sound like they're doing that. So.
Yeah. And in times like this where, you know, there's a lot going on and we're currently like in a fight with our biggest ally.
Yeah.
Typically people don't like regime changes or they don't like party changes in the middle
That's
of that.
True.
So, you know, their chances are a lot higher, at least in the liberal side.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to see what's going to happen with us, because hopefully it doesn't increase our prices. It might increase our groceries, but other products that usually come from other places like China or Europe, whatever, those might stay the same. Maybe we might even get better deals. We'll see. We don't know, right? It's kind of like uncertain right now. That's why the markets are kind of going down and everything is kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
Right?
Hopefully there's like an equilibrium that happens.
So everything that's happening right now in the world is like connected. Even going back to what's happening in Palestine right now, right? I was watching a video and it was Bisan, and she's like, you know, this isn't just going, we're not just going back to how it was before the ceasefire, right? Where like, you know, they're bombing indiscriminately. Like now it's even worse, right?
Yeah.
Like they're attacking places that have some type of like pull in the international realm, whether it be like UN centers and stuff like it. They're just bombing those centers as well. Places where people typically thought would be for sure safe, right? And you hear about what happened currently recently with the 15, what is it? The 15 first responders.
Yeah.
And they were, well, it was said. So first off, okay, this was a report. First off, there was a report where 15 first responders were unalived by the Israeli army, right? And these were like, not just by a bomb, like this is, like they execution. Could see them,
yeah,
and they shot them, like they shot these individuals. They know who they're shooting at, right? Mm-hmm. And the story, their official story, was that they were suspicious vehicles approaching without emergency lights. That was a big thing. Without emergency lights, no indicators at all. Just suspicious vehicles approaching them, and they felt like they had to open fire, right? So then it was revealed that one of the people who was actually unalived had a video on his phone before he was unalived when he was filming it. And you could see they're all driving with their lights on, like clearly marked emergency vehicles, like a fire truck, ambulances. And yeah, you just see they start getting shot at. And like these are vehicles with their lights on, right?
Yeah.
And of course they're like, yeah, you know, we got to get the other side of the story now. We got to ask about, like, you know, what do you say to this, right? This contradictory to your story.
There's nothing to say.
That's the thing. There's nothing to say. Why do you even need to get the response from them? This was a news station who was saying we need a response, but why, you see what the evidence is here, right? And of course, it was like, oh yeah, yeah, we made a mistake. That was totally us. That's on us. And of course, nothing after that, right? There's no consequences. The thing is that no matter what happens, there's going to be no consequences for them.
Yeah.
This is not going to be a huge story. No one's going to talk about this. New York Times is ironically the one that broke this. They usually seem to be on the pro-Zionist side, but they broke this. And once the response was gotten, like, there's going to be no loss of her support from the general, like, Western government. So it's disheartening, and like, it breaks your morale when you see these things. Morale for the people there already, I've heard, has been like severely destroyed because when you go from all that war to a ceasefire, like, you know, your morale's up, but it only lasts 2 months.
Yeah,
like that would destroy anyone.
Yeah,
mentally, physically, just everything you thought you could rebuild is being destroyed again, right?
Yeah.
So especially the fact that these people came back to an area that was supposed to be safe, had a lot of heavy fire, and that same area is unsafe again, but this time they're not giving them warnings. Before, remember, that was a big thing. They were like, oh, we're the most humanitarian army out there. We give warnings before we bomb places, but they're not doing that anymore. They're literally just indiscriminately bombing. They don't care about their hostages. Sorry, I know I'm ranting a lot in this episode, but it's just
I don't think it was ever about the hostage.
Yeah, it never was.
That they were just a scapegoat.
Yeah, and now even the people of that country are like protesting against their government. Yeah. But the government doesn't care.
I know they don't care.
Yeah, they're all doing it. They're just doing it to hold power, and I think it just exposes that they never really care about those hostages to begin with.
Inshallah, justice will be served, and it'll be so worth everything that all of the oppressed people have gone through. Like, it's easy to lose hope, but I think it's just a reminder that we always, like all Muslims have, is like that faith in God. Like, just hold on to that faith. And I feel like we can all agree that Palestinians have the strongest tawakkul that I think I've ever seen in life. Like, I've never seen anyone else maintain their faith as much as they have. I don't know. It's very hard, but at the same time, it's just remembering, like, God will deal with those people.
And so I hope that because of what's happening currently in America, they'll lose their influence. And by them losing their influence, it also loses influence just by default, because they're the ones who are being funded by them, which is one thing to get into. So something weird that happened in America was, do you know who Cory Booker is?
That name sounds familiar.
He's a politician. He's a Democratic politician in America. He did this whole like thing where he did a filibuster for 25 hours on the House floor. A filibuster is basically where, like, they come up to speak and they just continue speaking so nothing can move forward on, like, they can't continue with their usual passing of laws. Or usually a filibuster, that's why it's kind of awkward. Not awkward, but it's weird, because there was nothing really going on. He kind of just did this. Typically, a filibuster would happen whenever, like, a bill is about to be passed and they're trying to delay it as much as possible. And then, like, because as long as someone is speaking up there, they can't continue with their votes or with the government, basically. So he did that for 24 hours. It was clearly just, like, for the publicity, because he wasn't blocking anything. He's kind of doing it for himself and for his own, like, just ego, I guess. Sure, it might have maybe helped with morale slightly in the Democratic government, because it looks like they're trying to do something. But it's it kind of defeats the purpose when nothing is being passed at the time.
Right.
But besides that, like, he, in this 25 hours, he spoke about everything that we just spoke about, everything that the government is doing, but didn't mention Palestine once. And then on top of that, I think it was like literally the next day or 2 days after, they voted to give more funding to Israel. Yeah, this same guy was out here speaking for the people, you know, justice and all this stuff, yet he's still a Zionist.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such hypocrites, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, what do you do, right? Because the only, the other option to what's happening right now is the other party that still supports this going on, what's going on in Palestine, right? But yeah, it's literally the situation where you're like between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
We're not making decisions for the Americans, but every decision they make affects us. So that's why we're so invested in this.
But it's also like, and when you think about it, yeah, like the Americans have a say with their vote, mm-hmm. but even then, like what the government does is not always in the control of the US citizens. So like,
mm-hmm. well, like
doomed either way.
Yeah, it could be, but it seems like almost an impossible task.
Yeah.
Like there are certain things that citizens can do to.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. Right. They can speak. They can vote for independence. Right. They can make sure that the parties are choosing candidates that are actually for their interests. Right.
Right.
But it requires a larger movement that a lot of people are just don't have the time because of what's going on. You know,
right.
they're scared of like if they can even find it, their next meal.
I was just gonna say, like, now that they are facing that issue,
yeah,
they're gonna victimize themselves.
Less involved. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's a lot been going on
it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, where you know, I know it's a lot of our podcasts have been centered around politics, but there's a lot going on in the West right now, and it's all connected to the things that we are interested in, our self-interests, and I feel like even the world's self-interest now, because it's all connected and just like a superpower in the world. So it's I feel like it's important to mention these things, but if you liked,
it's not everyday fun, okay?
Exactly. if you found anything that we spoke about interesting, want to give your own opinions, make sure to leave a comment down below. But if you want to hear more from us, make sure you subscribe to the channel and hit like the video. I think Sarah said, you know, if you hit like 200 likes, I might join this I will join this marathon. We'll wear,
we'll make custom shirts, and then maybe
we might do 5k.
We might do a giveaway with these custom shirts, maybe not the ones that we wore, but like we'll make you special ones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can, you know, why not? We'll try and see if we can like source some type of merch or like make something ourselves.
Okay, if we're gonna do that,
not whole merch, like, you know, like individual.
I know, but if we're gonna do that, I think we should up the likes then. 200, we could do that.
No, that's what I feel like. Let's 200 to get me to join, and then what next thing for the shirts giveaway?
I think we should do a giveaway when we hit 10k personally.
Okay,
subscribers. So guys, tell your friends, your cousins, your mamas, your aunties, your uncles, your dads, your brothers, subscribe, be part of the under 10k club. Let me see what we're at actually right now.
I think we're at like 8 something.
Do we need to be more consistent? Yes. Do we need to have more fun content? Yeah, but like
I need to make more clips. Definitely,
we're getting there. We are at 792. Yeah, so close to 8.
Okay. 8792.
No, 792.
Oh, 792. Okay,
so 7920.
Okay. So when you said three numbers, I was like, wait.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
But yeah, again, subscribe to the channel, like the video, leave a comment, follow us on our platform, Cousin Connection Pod.
What's our final like for the video? 200 to get Amir to sign up.
Yeah. And 300.
We will decide on the giveaway when the time comes.
Yeah.
But 10K is what we're aiming for.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But for now, it's just 200 likes to get me to join this 5K.
Yes. We'll see. You guys can do that.
But yeah. we'll also cover comments next week. Sorry, I know we didn't do that this week. We kind of went on a little bit longer. But yeah, we'll cover that next week. But until then, we'll see y'all later. Bye. You forgot to say bye.
I mouthed it, but I didn't say it. Let's do it again.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.